Boy, talk about pressure. Yeah, thanks, Josh. Well, I was, as it was mentioned, I am Tony Araujo, my wife of 43 years in March. Would you please stand? Just in case you don't know who she is, we went to a community group one a couple weeks back. It was a new group we've never been to, and we both walk into the door, and the lady says, "You guys are married?" So apparently we get spotted around the church not together, and so that happens, I guess. But yeah, being that I am a bit nervous, and I haven't done this in years, actually. But I have a little story, and that's raise your hand if you know who Cal is. Okay, yeah, so you're going to get this. And there he is, right? So I'm going to say loosen up like Cal. So one Sunday morning, I'm coming in, and there's nobody in the lobby. I come in the main doors, and he's just standing just the other side of these black doors here, and he's just standing there. And so I walk in, I go, "What are you doing, Cal? What's happening?" And so everybody stand up for me. Everybody right now, just stand up. We're all going to loosen up at the same time, all right? We're going to call this the Cal loosen up, right? Yeah. So I said, "What's going on, Cal?" And he goes like this, and do this with me. He goes like this. So I just do it back, and we just start laughing. And I'm like, "Thank you very much. That was great." Thanks, guys. You can be seated. That kid is a blessing. Well, obviously, I consider this a great honor. It's just, honestly, just a great honor to have you guys for the next 90 minutes. Is that what it is? Oh, no, I'm sorry. I mean 30-35, right? But, you know, I'm going to share some scriptures, but I'm also going to share some testimony because I believe there's power in testimony. The Word tells us in Revelations that they overcame by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. Then we see again in John, I believe it is, where the Samaritan woman, just by sharing her testimony, is able to change her total village or town and have them follow Christ. And so as I mix things in, I believe it has power. And so for whoever has ears this morning, let's give it a whirl, huh? But over my walk with the Lord, I've figured out that there's two main denominators that goes across all of us, young and old in the Lord, young and old in age. And it's faith and trust. Wherever you're at, however long you've been, brand new in the Christian, 50 years like me in the Lord, faith and trust are basically two sides of the same coin, in my opinion. But we're going to target the word trust this morning, and we're going to look at a lot of different examples. If I had to title this morning, it'd probably be off the old coinage. Instead of to be or not to be, it's going to be to trust or not to trust. We have a choice. You're going to find that out. But we're going to look at the next little chart here. Right there. Is that readable? Yeah. Good. So just kind of a comparison, kind of a, not quite versus each other, but the Bible tells us what faith is. We all know what it is. But did we know that it was a gift? In Ephesians 2, it says that it's a gift from God. Whereas trust, I believe, is a choice. It's nobody can make me do it. Nobody can give it to me. I have to choose to do it. And then Hebrews 11:6 tells us that faith, if you don't have faith, it's impossible to please God. But on the other end of it, I believe that if you don't have trust, you can't go very far with God. I believe that faith is usually seen as a beneficial thing that we're looking into for something good, whereas trust will come out of the good, the bad, and the ugly at times. And faith will build us stronger for something that we're looking ahead of, towards, where trust sometimes is built as we're going right through the fire. It's built as we've been through the fire. These are some of the elements that when you get a grip of faith, you can have all the faith in the world. But if you don't have trust, you're only going to go so far. You're only going to go so far. I've met so many people in my walk where they're just so anointed, so powerful, so, you know, that person is going to go far. He's going to be something big, either in speaking or in worship or being a pastor or something like that. But then as the time goes on, you see that he has a trust issue and he hits a ceiling. And that's true for all of us. But there's four characters in the Bible that we're going to kind of take a look at. Joseph is our first character. Joseph, if you read the book and you read his story, you'll see that that guy was picked out from a young boy. He was a favorite of his dad, and his dad gave him everything, and his brothers hated him because they were jealous of him. And then you see that from having everything to having nothing, his brothers throw him into a pit and ultimately sell him as a slave. So then he has a period in his life where he's a slave. And then he gets out of that and goes into a palace because he has a dream. But then he has an accusation and a trickery happened to him to where the wife of his leader says, I really want you. And he says, I'm not having that. And so it gets him in prison for years, right? And then it comes back around. He has another dream, and he's back up in the palace. And then his brothers come into the picture, the ones who threw him in the pit. So years down the road, like 40 years, his brothers are standing before him, and then Joseph basically tells him who he is. And his brothers are terrified. They're absolutely terrified. And so in the next slide, we see that Joseph tells his brothers that God sent him to that place. He tells his brothers, you didn't put me here. God put me here. What that equates to is that you didn't throw me in the pit. You didn't make me a slave. You didn't put me in prison. The story of Joseph's life is a huge trust lesson that at the end of it all, he realizes this was all God's orchestration to get me to this place. Huge, absolutely huge. The next person we're going to look at is Job. Big one. Everybody goes, Job. So he's got everything. He loves the Lord, pleases the Lord. And the Lord puts him to a test or allows him to be put to a test, and he loses everything. 10 children, all his servants, livestock, property, his health, his relationships, all go down the toilet in an instant. And so in Job's case, the Lord taught him how to trust by telling him who he was. Most of the book of Job is God explaining exactly who he is. I've done this. I've created this. I've done this. Hey, you know, did you give the owl his wisdom? Did you make the eagle? Did you give him his pride? Can you touch a dinosaur? You know, all these crazy things. He's just going on and on and on. At the end, you like that one? Can he touch a dinosaur? Yeah. But, you know, so at the end of it, Job comes to a realization of who God is and chooses to trust him and says, you know what? I know who you are, and even if you kill me, I'll trust you. Even if you slay me, my hope is going to be in you. Huge. And then the next one is Paul. Different level of trust. one of the greatest men of faith in our word. He saw Jesus personally. He preached to thousands, healed the sick, cast out demons. And then he gets this affliction. The Bible's not really clear on what it was exactly, other than the Lord gave it to him. It's called a thorn in the flesh. A lot of historians believe that it was something health-related. And so this great man of faith begins to ask the Lord. In fact, the word says he pleaded with the Lord. Will you please take this away from me? Will you please take this away from me? Lord, please, please. You've done all these things through me. I've seen you work. I know your power. I've seen you personally. Will you please take this away from me? And the Lord says, no, sorry, I won't. Because my purposes are made powerful in your weakness. So it had to teach Paul, or at that moment it taught Paul, that even when we ask for something that's really good, seems really beneficial, seems like it lines up with the kingdom of God, that the Lord will not treat us like a spoiled child and say, yeah, whatever you want. That he's got bigger plans and purposes for our lives sometimes when we go through tough things. And Paul trusted till the day he died. He continued on his work with that thorn in the flesh. And then the last persons, Abraham and Isaac. Well, you want to talk about a trust lesson here. At so many different levels. We've got Abraham, who knew God very well. One day, the Lord says, you know that son I gave you, the miracle son from the barren wife, the one who I made all these promises through? I want you to take him up to the hill and sacrifice him like a burnt offering. Now, this day and age, we'd be all like, what? Lord, what? Are you kidding me? But I assume that Abraham trusted the Lord so well that he just decided to go, okay, I trust you, God. So he gets the donkey, he gets the wood, he gets the fire, he gets his son, and they start marching up the hill. And mind you, if you don't know this, Isaac, they say, in historians write, that he was probably somewhere in his mid-20s, maybe even 30 years of age. So that's not, come on, little junior, we're going up the hill. You don't really need to know what's happening. Come on. Trust me, right? Now, this is a grown man following his dad to go and worship and to give sacrifice. And so when they get to the place, Isaac's like, okay, we've got the pile of wood and we've got fire, but dad, where's the ram? Oh, don't worry about that, son. Here, let me just tie you up for a second here and climb up onto this pile of wood and let me tie your feet up. And so there's two levels of trust happening here. Abraham, it said in the word that he trusted God so much that he knew the character of God would not let him follow a directive to kill somebody. He knew that if he did kill his son, that the Lord would raise him up from the dead. But Isaac, on the other hand, what the heck was that boy thinking? Right? Picture it. He's on the pile. The dad's holding the flame. He's tied up. And all of a sudden, Abraham lifts the knife. And at that moment in time, Isaac's going, Dad, I trust you with my life. And more importantly, I trust that you believe our God. You know what that equates to in our lives sometimes? You ever follow a leader that hears God, that loves you, wants the best for you, and asks you to do something you don't want to do? Like all the time. Right? It's either in the job or in the workforce, in the church. You're going to run into this. But those are the key elements. Does the person love you? Is the person walking with the Lord? Can the person hear the Lord? Those three key elements are the foundation pins for whether or not you can trust the person asking you to do something radical. In most cases, it's not even something radical. Nobody's ever going to put me on an altar and try to kill me, right? He may just, who knows, ask me to preach or something. You know what I'm saying? But, you know, I wanted to give an example here. So trust I see as a muscle, right? Everybody has a muscle. Everybody has muscles. But trust needs to be worked on. It needs to be worked out. So I need a couple of volunteers. Let's see here. Soji, I'll take you. And Jake, I'll take you too. Come on up, gentlemen, real quick. What two better examples of muscles, right? Here we go. All right. Come on. Come on, right here, gentlemen, right here, right up here. Okay, don't overthink this. This is not rehearsed, by the way. Don't overthink this. I'm going to ask a couple questions, right? But first, so since we're talking about muscles, take your shirts off, please. I'm just kidding. Oh, settle down, ladies, settle down.
What are you doing here?
Trust me, gentlemen, trust me. No, just do this. I'm going to do it too, just to embarrass myself along with you, okay? But it's going to be worse on me. But just lift your arm, just like this, expose your muscle. Okay? Come on now. Okay. All right. Come on. Okay, here we go. All right, so here comes the questions. Kids, settle down, will you? Okay. All right, Soji first. Did these arms just show up one night while you were sleeping attached to your shoulders?
Yes, they did.
It could have. I think I had to.
No question.
No, I guess. But yeah, they
could. Okay.
But
no, they did not. Yeah, okay. Okay.
Not.
Jake.
No.
Yeah. He hesitated on that one. So,
okay. How about how long would you say from say this to this? How long would you say days, months, years?
A few months?
Months. We got months. Okay. All right.
And then. No, I'm not big like this. This is years in the making. I'm like 4 weeks.
Okay. We got years here. We got weeks here. All right. And then, Soj, were there times, did you find it was easy to get like this or hard?
I think it was a matter of consistency, you know? And so, to answer your question, Tony, was it easy or hard? I didn't really put a level of difficultiness to it, but I was more thinking of just like consistency and just like keep going at it, rather than thinking is this gonna be a hard challenge or a hard feat though.
It was super hard though, because you had to commit and keep going.
I guess, but that's the initial part. Right after you get
super hard.
Okay, so, all right. Okay. Soji, you did hear me say don't overthink this, don't right?
Yes, I'm sorry.
Okay. And then last question. Do you think, both of you, at the beginning, this to this, can you move more weight? Are you stronger?
I'd say yes.
Yes.
Trust, muscle, takes time, can be painful, doesn't happen overnight. Hard work, commitment. You can move more when you're done. Thank you, gentlemen. When I grow up, I want to look just like one of those guys. Sheesh. But so this is part where I'm going to share a testimony, okay? So I've never lost everything, never been in prison, never been a slave. But I have had lessons of trust in various forms. And so I'm going to start here with 1984, which, as I look around, some of you weren't even born yet. Diane says most of them weren't born yet. Thank you, Di. But I had this miraculous thing take place. We were married for about 2 years. I was working at a grocery store. We were barely making it. And all of a sudden, I put in an application for Southern California Edison Company, and I get hired. It was miraculous because it was an expired application that got pulled out of a pile. So that moment in time for us, I went from making little money to lots of money. I had opportunity to go up a huge company ladder. And most of all, in our case, we were thinking, we've got retirement. We are set for life. But then something happens, right? So about 12 or 13 years into my venture, give or take, I start to hit the ceiling, and I start to look at other jobs and put in applications, and because I knew there's more here. There's more here. It's time to move up. God has provided this company for me to work for. But I realized in the summer of 1996, Eric, where's that slide with my guys on it? There. You guys recognize that? Yeah. To quote Smalls in that, I think he says something like, in the summer of 1996, I got into the biggest pickle ever. Yeah, that's what happened, all right. So I was applying for these jobs, and one of the jobs that I was applying for was a project planner assistant. I had come out of the field as an apprentice lineman, and I had computer background skills, and I had all of the, you know, qualifications for that job. And so I began to take some additional courses, some studying, and I was staying after work and learning and shadowing and applying. And lo and behold, Lord answered the prayer. I get an interview, and I get offered a job. Yay, God. But at the same time, literally the same day, thus the pickle kicks in. One of the other applications / transfers that I turned into telecommunications department calls me up the same day and says, hey, your transfer has been selected. You want the job? So now, I agree with that. Oh boy. Now I'm like, okay, Lord, which one do I choose? So I did what most seasoned Christians do, and I began to panic. No, just kidding. If I were truthful, right? Yeah. No, I mean, so in that part of my journey with the Lord, I knew, okay, well, God is faithful. He can speak to me. I just got to find the closest prophet. Just kidding. No, he can speak to me. He can lead me, and he'll tell me what to do. And so in that time in my life, I made it a practice. Like, okay, first and foremost, I'm going, obviously, going to drop to my knees and pray. And so I'm going to, the word says to search your heart and make sure that there's no iniquity in your heart so that he can hear your prayer. So I confess, I ask a brother to see if he sees any blind spots, and I basically say, Lord, okay, clean slate here, thank you, forgive me, I repent. Let's go forward, hear my prayer. I began to fast. I began to pray with my wife. The Bible says to seek wise counsel. I met with church elders. The Bible says to seek the counsel of your dad. I considered my dad at the time very wise in job-related topics, resumes, career choices. So I sat down with him. You know, the crazy part of the equation was that I only had 5 days to tell both supervisors my answer. And so I was crying out as the days started to click, as you can picture it. And you gotta think, at this time I've got two small children, been married that time for 15 years-ish. And so livelihood is at stake. Career choice, how much I make, how much I travel, how much I'll be away from my family. All of these things are coming into play, and I'm desperate to hear God. Absolutely desperate. So I'm going to stop there for a second. Just like to be continued. Because I want to kind of touch on some of the things that I was feeling. Some of the questions I was facing at the time. These are right up here. Like, am I missing something, God? Is there sin in my life? Isn't it true that you speak all the time, but for some reason I'm just not hearing it? What's my problem? My favorite. Will you not answering me cause me my Christian walk to speed wobble? Now, for anybody who's been on a skateboard, you know what I'm talking about here. A speed wobble. I should have put up a video, actually. But a speed wobble is you pick this nice big hill with your skateboard, and you start bombing down this hill. And as you pick up 15, 20 miles an hour, you're feeling good. The wind is blowing in your hair, if you had hair. And just as you're starting to enjoy it, the skateboard goes like this. And you're like, what was that? And so now you're up to 25, 30, and now it goes again. And you're like, oh, shoot. And then it just becomes uncontrollable. And it starts to wobble, wobble, wobble. And then it goes, board goes that way, and you go that way. Crash and burn. So in this time in my life, I'm thinking, Lord, will your non-answer cause me to crash and burn? Ooh. But I think the biggest thing I was facing is I truly did not want to make a big decision in my life outside of the will of God. I wanted to make sure I was staying in His will. And so many times previously, He kept me. He nudges, He talks, He uses people to keep me in the flow of His will. And so here I am out on a ledge going, I need an answer. I need it bad. Those are just a handful of the questions I was facing. Now back to the story. Where were we? We were panicked. We were stressed. We were pleading with God. I needed an answer. I've got 5 days. And so the day came up. And you know what? My good Father, whom I trusted, whom I loved, you know what He said to me? Nothing. What? I got nothing from nobody. So, last ditch effort, I called up the supervisor of the telecommunications department, and I said, hey, can you do me a favor? Can we meet? So I don't know much about your department. I know what a telecommunications apprentice lineman is, but don't know much about your department. Can we meet? And so he said yes. And those line sheet papers, I'd written out every line of questions having to do with how much pay, how much time, travel time away from my family would be, the apprentice program. I wanted to know if it was established to the point where when I was done, I would end up getting a journeyman apprenticeship card that I could take anywhere in the world. And so he answered all my questions. And I thought, okay, well, I'm gonna go, that was like lunchtime. I needed to give an answer at 5 o'clock. So I meet with Diane and we look over the list and we basically look at the pros and cons of the two jobs. And telecommunications was satellite communication, fiber optic communication, cable communication throughout the whole Edison territory. I saw it as a wave of the future, and I chose to do that. Allison, I like her look. Right? I didn't have an answer, just based off of what I could put together, I did what you consider, I made a wise choice. So I report to Alhambra, which was half the distance that I was driving, which I was stoked. And I get there and I start talking with the crews, the guys who were working there, and I realize something terrifying. Oh no. The supervisor that I interviewed, boldface, lied to me about a lot of things. He was having trouble hiring and keeping people in his department. He saw me as someone who had the qualifications and just told me what I wanted to hear. So I found out that instead of traveling 1 week a year from my family, it was three. 3 weeks, I'm sorry, a month. Yeah, that's a little heavier, right? 3 weeks a month away from my kids and wife. Found out that there was no apprenticeship program. It was just a pipe dream. No journeyman card. And to boot, I was working with some of the foulest worldly guys I've ever met in my life. It was probably one of the worst seasons of my life. And so you're like, oh, just put it in a transfer. No problem. Get out of there. Union jobs, in case you don't know, I had to stay there 6 months before I could put in another transfer. So no guessing how long it took for me to put in my transfer. It's 6 months to the day I walk it into the supervisor, hand it to him, and begin to wait and pray for the Lord to come through. And waited. A month goes by, I check. Boss, anything? Nothing. 2 months, 3 months. Boss, anything? Nothing. 4 months, I start to get like, okay, something's weird here. So I call the department that I put the transfer into. I said, hey, guys, are we not hiring? Is there a hiring freeze? What's happening over there? It was a buddy of mine. He says, no, we just hired three guys off the street, like last month. I'm like, what? So again, with union stuff, they're not allowed to do that. If there's a transfer sitting, pending, they have to pick that person first before they go to the street. So I called the department supervisor and asked him if that was true. I said, did you do that? And he says, yeah. I said, didn't you see my transfer? He says, what transfer? I said, the transfer I put in 6 months ago? And he says, well, what's the tag number on the carbon copy? I said, what carbon copy? He says, the one the boss gives you when you, after he turns it into HR, he gives you a copy. I'm like, I don't have that. He says, no problem. Just, you know, he forgot to give it to you, so just go ask him for it. So I go to my boss and ask him for a carbon copy of the process transfer, and guess what happened? He reaches in his desk, and he pulls out the unprocessed transfer that I handed to him almost 6 months ago. I'm like, tricked again by the same guy. So I get a hold of a union rep, and the short end of that story is that I was transferred out the next day. Thank you, Lord. But, you know, is this all a story just to talk about going from one job to another? No, no, no. There's a bigger picture here. And I want to encourage you today, whatever you're going through, whatever you're facing, there is a bigger picture in the kingdom of God. He's at work at various levels. You can't see it. Sometimes you don't want it, but he is at work. So once I got out of that department, I began to apply for the job that I turned down because they were popping up all over the Edison territory. I figured if I landed it once, I could do it again, right? And so in a matter of 2 years, I took 20 interviews, and Every one of them were closed doors. And so to this day, I believe the guy that I told no the first time was so angry at me. He was. I don't need to believe that. He was angry. I ended up putting his department into tailspin, in a tailspin, because I told him no. I didn't know that. But I believe when I started to applying, that he talked to his colleagues and what did what I call blacklisted me. Said, don't pick that guy. He burned me. 20 closed doors. At the end of that little 20th interview, I was so tired, so frustrated. I was crying out to God at that point in my life, going, what is happening? What do you want? Lord, why are you stopping me from climbing the corporate ladder in a job and a career that you blessed me with right through retirement? What is happening? He says, I never told you it was for retirement. You assumed it was for life. I'm like, oops, what am I supposed to say then? Like, okay, my bad. So what do you want, Lord? I want you to pack your bags, turn in your resignation, because I need you somewhere else for something else. It was the hardest decision of our married lives. I think Diane still carries PTSD from it. Anytime anybody mentions the word Edison, she's like, But see, that started me on a journey, started us on a journey. That moment in time got me to another job, closer to this town, opened up the opportunity for us to move to this town. It opened up the opportunity for us to be elders and shepherds in this house for such a time as this. For such a time as this. So don't disregard. Don't take offense. Don't get hurt. Don't go into unforgiveness. Don't go into the things that stop trust in its tracks. Trust that God loves you. He loves you. He loves you. He loves you. He has a plan and a purpose for your life far outweighing anything that you can imagine. If you would have told me 20-something years ago I would end up moving to the town that I was surfing for 30 years, I'm going to be like, yeah, right, sure, yeah, uh-huh. Yeah, that's where God wants me, in my surf town. But yet, that's what he wanted. And not for surfing, but for you guys. For you guys. These 6 points I want us to remember as we're going through trust lessons. God is not forsaking you. He's not forsaking you. He loves us. His Bible tells us over and over again. He will never forsake us. And he's not despising you. This is not some kind of a, He's not rejecting you. He's not despising you. Because his character is that of everlasting love. Over and over again in the Word, he reminds us of his everlasting love. He's not ignoring you. He's never too busy. He's not asleep at the wheel. If you're seeking him and he's not answering, it doesn't mean he's punishing you. Oof. Some of us come up with roots, family roots. Now, that's how they did things. They would basically, what do you call that? Icing somebody, or not ghosting, shun. oh, you're not going to listen? You're not going to do what I say? All right, fine. I'm not going to talk to you. I'm just going to ignore you. Ugh, that's so satanic. I'll tell you that right now. But so it'll get us to a point where answer or no answer, is he the Lord of your life? Because if he is, then trust him that he's going to do his will for our lives. It's not about us. Not about us. And just remember that in the good, the bad, the ugly stages of these times, he's at work. He's building what I like to call a kingdom resume. We all have a kingdom resume. We think that, hey, I used to do this, and I did this, and I was here, and I was there, and then I came to the Lord, and boy, you know, I don't really have anything to share anymore because that was then and this is now. And where do I go with, what do I do with the kingdom of God? And God is telling you, those things, the Joseph in the prison, the Joseph as a slave, the false accusations, those things that I allowed you to go through are what I'm going to use for my kingdom. For my purposes. Closing verse. Interesting enough. Don picked it too. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge. Seek him. Submit to him. And he will direct your paths. He will make them straight. He's not going to let you go awry. He's not going to let you go off the track, if you're seeking him. We go off the track because we decide to go off the track. We choose not to trust him in places when we're on the track, and we end up off the track. But if you're seeking him, man, is he faithful. In the good, in the hard times, he is faithful. So look to him because he loves us, okay? Make sense? Everybody with me? All right.